UFC Fight Day at the Spectrum Center tomorrow. Prelims begin Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern on ESPN, followed by a stacked main card, 3 Eastern on ABC. See it all on ESPN+. Now, look. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, you got to check this out. The Titans asked Nashville tourists to identify their 2023 opponents. It was awesome.
Oh.
Lightning McQueen. No.
Chester Cheeto.
Boston Bobcats. No idea. No idea.
Baltimore Orioles.
This one is the Red Stallions. Ah.
I can't stop laughing. The Red Stallions.
That's the most brilliant thing that has ever been produced.
The sound effect, that Red Stallion.
And what did the Falcons do?
Hey, you said the Falcons changed their Twitter handle to the Red Stallions.
That's genius. There we go. Forever they're called the Stallions.
Third jersey now. Let's make it happen.
Welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. Alan, Dan Graziano with us. Monica McNutt, RG3, joining soon. And let's get right to basketball. Game of the night, Celtics Sixers, Game 6. Joel Embiid and the 76ers looking to close out the Celtics at home. Jason Tatum and friends had other ideas. Late third, Celtics up 7. Whoa, Jaylen Brown slips and Maxi capitalizes. What happened there?
Yeah, get a mop. I mean, that's just sweat, condensation, whatever it is. The ball boys weren't doing their job getting out there and sweeping it up. Jaylen Brown not happy about that.
Yep, indeed. And then not happy about this of the Celtics. Joel Embiid, key block. Harden gets it, and Harden driving. Looks like he's going for it, but no, George Niang for 3. This is how they work really well, Alan.
Yeah, the corner 3, it works, but you got to make those corner 3s. They went to him too many times. But Joel Embiid gets a touch, and that's what you want.
Yeah.
The ball in the hand of your best player, but that didn't happen late in the
Looking
game.
Looking good. The Sixers were up 2 at that point, but then the fourth quarter happened, and Jason Tatum happened. He was 0 for 10 in the first half, and the fourth quarter, totally different story. Celtics up 1 at that point, and then Embiid. Watch this. Goes for a jumper, misses. That's 3:56 left in the game. The last time he would touch the ball in the rest of the game.
How is that possible?
Unbelievable.
Meanwhile, Jason Tatum goes God mode. He's on fire after one make. He just knew all of a sudden he was feeling it after having no touch at all for most of this game.
Marcus Smart knew too, passing it to him there. He had 4 threes in the fourth. And then under 40 seconds left, Tatum calling game. Outscored the Sixers all by himself in the fourth quarter, 16-13. Celtics force a game 7. And here's Embiid after.
I don't think I touched the ball the last 4 minutes of the game. I missed a lot of good looks. I didn't touch the ball at all.
He's looking dejected, but you know what? Everybody in Philadelphia or anybody who's a fan has to be so frustrated right now. This was a chance to close him out. They couldn't get it done. Now it's a game 7 in Boston. Alan, how do you explain the fact that Embiid did not touch the ball with 3:56 or something down the stretch?
Well, it's a failure in several different cases, and the first one begins with who you're dealing with, and that is 3 people who are running a franchise, mm-hmm. and 3 people who have done nothing but struggle in closing out series. Think about Doc Rivers and his record. He won a championship a long time ago in 2008 with the Celtics, and since then, he has been nothing but a struggle when it comes to coaching in the playoffs at 17-34 now. Ooh. In closeout games. So you have that situation, your head coach. You have James Harden. That's it. That's all you need to know. It's James Harden in the playoffs. Anybody following basketball knows the rest of that story. And then Joel Embiid, who's with the Sixers, and this is the hump he just can't get over. The second round, they had the Celtics on the ropes, I felt. They were home. They were rolling. The building was on their side, and all they had to do was to deliver the knockout punch, which they couldn't do. And they are, to me, that maddening team that you just can't figure out. You don't know what you're getting. I'd say this series is maddening to me.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know what you're getting from either team. But for the Sixers, this is an opportunity lost once again for a franchise that has not been able to get over the hump of the second round.
Monica, how big of a meltdown was this for Embiid and the Sixers?
I'm sorry that you have to sit next to him, Ryan. I know that this is deep and personal to you. But on a scale of 1 to 10, I put this meltdown around an 8, around a 7.5, 8. But here's the thing that you cannot manufacture. the urgency of being on the ropes. And so as much as you question why Joel Embiid doesn't get the basketball in the last 4 minutes, although when we watched that tape, I also questioned why he wasn't at the block or even at the high post in an assertive fashion, because that's the place where he's been able to kill teams. He can't waffle around the perimeter and act like, oh, everything is great, combined with some guys trying to play some hero ball in terms of bad shot selection. But you cannot manufacture the urgency of being on the ropes. And to me, what you saw was a Celtics squad that was not ready to end their season. And to their credit, we've seen late in this series, in late games, that it's been close, the Celtics have fallen apart. And so they needed to swing the pendulum in an extreme fashion as well. So I'm willing to give the Celtics a little more credit and a little less blame to the Sixers.
Monica, this is not a meltdown. This is basketball malpractice. You failed your client. You had it won. The case was closed.
And then somehow, some way, you couldn't convince the jury
to say not guilty.
Go ahead, Monica.
You are still guilty of playoff failure.
Go ahead, Monica.
This is where you and I differed, Ohan. I think maybe there was like a small stretch in the second quarter where it was like, if Jason Tatum can't get it together, they got this. But I never felt like the Sixers really had it won. And so if you're going to take down a team that previously won the Eastern Conference Finals last year, went to the finals, you have to take them out. I felt like the Celtics were like, we're okay. And they proved to be okay.
Mm-hmm. You know when they knew they were okay? Mm-hmm. Here's the adjustment Joe Mazzulla made, the great adjustment that he made. Jason Tatum started making shots, contested shots, long three-pointers. That's the adjustment that they made. Our best player played great when it mattered most because the door was left open by the Sixers. That's what happened here. This series has had mood swings that remind me of being, I'm a parent of teenagers. And this is like living with teenagers. You don't know what you're getting each day. I have no idea. You're not happy. You're in your room. You don't want to come down and want to talk to anybody. Fine. Then you come down. Oh, you're going to join us at the table? This is great. You're smiling. I want to enjoy this moment as best I can. And if you're going to ask me who's winning game 7, I can't tell you. Because I have no idea who's going to wake up happy or sad or in emo mode. I have no idea who to trust and who to not. So let's just wake up and see what we got. Because that's this series. It's been poorly coached, and it has been a mood swing of this team feels good, that team feels bad. Now today we're feeling better. It's amazing to me. Even this game had that same feel. All of a sudden, Jason Tatum came downstairs and said, I want to sit with you at the kitchen table and smile and put my phone down instead of scrolling. That's what Tatum did in the last 3 minutes of this game.
I just want to defend the Han kids. You guys are amazing, and usually he's raving about you. Don't take it personal. It's an analogy that he cannot
I'm
let go.
I'm getting facepalm emojis already on Snapchat.
Right. Okay. Look, I hear you, and there certainly is a Jekyll and Hyde nature to this series. But ultimately, and the thing that separated the Celtics to me going into this series is their experience. And so we'll see what happens in Game 7. I'm not sure that they've excised all their demons in terms of late-game decision-making that has caused them to basically lose games over the course of this series. And yes, Tatum was 1A, biggest adjustment, knocking down shots. But that lead was shrinking before he hit that shot. And so I just think the Celtics showed up in the fourth.
Okay, so more about a team effort for them. And Alan, when you look at this, though, Tatum, remember yesterday we were saying, hey, it can't all be about him, but it really was all about him in some ways in the fourth. But Monica saying it's a little defense as well. How did he play out? What did you make of his performance?
Well, again, on Tatum's side of things, he just got hot. That's literally what happened with
him. That's it, yeah.
Is he just made shots. I mean, if you look at the numbers here, he was doing nothing in this game, literally nothing in this game. Jaylen Brown, who we always push aside, he was a guy doing some stuff in this game, but he was doing nothing, and that's why I say the opportunity was there. Don't let him get hot. These are guys, I said this earlier in the show, this is like NBA Jam. We all think it's three straight shots. He's on fire. Guys like him, one shot, and suddenly now I'm a heat check. Yeah. You know, that's how they feel, and that's what he said even after the game. When you look at the shots that he's making here, these are contested shots. These aren't great shots. I mean, look at this shot here. It's defense on him. This is earlier in the game, obviously.
Yeah, right.
But he hits, I think this is the one. This is the one he hits, and that got him going. That's a contested long two. But all he needed to see was the ball go in, and suddenly he turned it on and turned this game around. And the Sixers offensively fell apart. You can credit what the Celtics did defensively to load up the paint and force them to become a three-point shooting team, which they didn't do well, especially above the break in this game. Melton didn't make his threes. PJ missed a couple of corner threes. There were moments that you saw a kick out and thought, make this, make this, extend the lead, and they couldn't make them, and it opened the door, it left the door open, I should say, for the Celtics to take this game.
For me, this game was more about what the Sixers didn't do than what the Celtics did do, even though the Celtics did a lot. But, Monica, it makes me think, when you talk about Tatum, you said, hey, this is also part of the team coming in and getting it done. Mm-hmm. How important, then, is it for Tatum to get off to a good start in Game 7 on Sunday?
Well, I do think Game 7 is going to have a different level of urgency, and he needs to start better. But I also think that the combination of going back to that jumbo defensive lineup that we saw last year with Robert Williams and Al Horford on the floor was tremendous. When they were on the floor, guys, they held Joel Embiid to 7 of 16 as the primary defender in Game 6. And so I just think you saw this Celtics squad sort of mature top down. Because if your star can't get going and you're still able to figure it out up until that point, that is growth.
It sure is. And you know what? You're making me think that Game 7 for the Sixers is almost coaching gut check time, because you know what the formula is to stop your superstar. What are you going to do in Game 7? And what were the Suns going to do in Game 6 facing elimination against the Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic, the big man right there? He was no joke in this one. First quarter, Nuggets up 2. Jokic, no look pass to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, nails it. It was that kind of game for Denver, Alan.
I mean, can we talk about this guy, by the way?
Yeah.
He averaged a 30-point triple-double. I mean, this is the performance that he had in this series, and we have not talked about him nearly.
No, it's amazing that we don't talk about him enough. And look at this. One of his 12 assists right here to Jamal Murray. Put up 32, 10 rebounds, 12 assists. Murray had 26 points to go with that. And then early in the fourth quarter, watch this. It's blowout time at this point.
This was embarrassing. They went down 30 again. I mean, this is 2 years in a row. Now, KD wasn't here for that last year.
No.
But that's back-to-back years. You get embarrassed and eliminated on your home floor.
Suns go home, and KD all burn up about that.
Yeah, it sucked. It was a bad feeling. It was embarrassing. They came out and hit us in the mouth. We couldn't recover. You know, you got to get him credit for being a disciplined team.
Alan, KD went there. They wanted to win a title. They fell way short of that. Is this season a failure for them?
No, not even close. This is not. You can't look at this situation here and consider this a failure. And here's why. Because, first of all, you're going to pay the Kings ransom to get a guy like Kevin Durant into your organization. He becomes available. It's late in the season. You're doing it. And you're doing it not to just win this year. You're doing it to win for the next couple of years. You want a window open. Now, yes, he's older, so it's not a big window. It's a portal. But it's still there. It's open. And so what you need to do now is go into an offseason understanding that you're way too top-heavy. You have two of the great scorers in the game today with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. At one point, they were averaging 70 points a game in the postseason, which is a ridiculous rate. You could not sustain that. So now you have to, if you're James Jones, the general manager, Matt Ishbia, the new owner, you have to now have a game plan this offseason with these two guys that are magnets for talent, and you have to figure out how are you going to build this roster around them so that your window of opportunity, your championship window, begins next season.
Okay, so Monica, I think it's a failure. What do you think?
I don't think it's a failure, Ryan. Han, though, is a portal bigger than a doggy door? Like, what's the one? How are we judging?
Depends on the size of the portal, an aperture. I mean, anybody you want. You can go with any kind of word you want there.
But okay,
it's an opening of something.
Here's the thing that I'm excited about moving forward and why I won't call this game or this season a failure for them. This is less than 25 games, right, with them healthy. And so it takes time to gel. It takes time to figure it out. And frankly, the depth, we can see the writing on the wall. The depth wasn't there, and this is not two of your best known two-way guys in the league where you would expect their defensive fortitude maybe to power them through just as much as what they could do on offense. I think, though, as you look at the West, there's a really good chance that Golden State looks different, right? We don't know necessarily what the Lakers are going to do. I mean, you think about a team like Sacramento, they didn't necessarily have a ton of defensive prowess, but they could obviously re-up easily next year. I think when I think of defensive juggernauts in the West, like, what's Memphis going to do? So there is this really legitimate opportunity for Phoenix to capitalize on however short this window is in terms of being able to differentiate themselves in the West and potentially run into the Nuggets again. Like, they look like the team that stands to stay intact.
Yeah, but the problem is you got a 35-year-old Kevin Durant who spent much of the past four seasons injured. You got CP3 to figure out. A lot to deal with there and see if they can build a champion. Okay, so let's keep it in the West, shall we? Will it be Bow Wow in Hollywood tonight after taking a shot in Game 5? What must the Lakers get from AD to beat the Warriors tonight? And the NFL schedule's out. We'll show you why Big Apple Aaron could be in for a rough road with the Jets.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick Six, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back. RG3's back with us too, so it's time to run through three's keys. Okay, so Robert, give us three matchups you're looking forward to.
Well, the first one is the Week 13 matchup. The Philadelphia Eagles slap the 49ers in the face like Will Smith smacked Chris Rock. And all offseason, the talk has been about how they only had 10 players. Both the quarterbacks were knocked out of the game. Well, come Week 13, they get to put up or shut up. These teams do not like each other. And at the end of the day, they're going to have to let their play doing the talking. My second matchup is going to be the Chiefs and the Jets in Week 2. This one's special. Because it's Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, right? These guys have combined to win the last three MVPs, but they've never faced off against each other. So in this Hall of Fame clash of the Titans at quarterback, you got two defenses also that want to shut them down and make the storyline about them. So this will be in Week 4. Can't wait to see that matchup. And then my third favorite matchup is going to be the Jets and the Cowboys. And this one is in Week 2. You know, we talk about this Jets team and they got a primetime slate of games, but the flight might be delayed after Week 1 against the Buffalo Bills. So that makes this matchup so much better. You're talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Cowboys. This is TV gold. Rodgers versus Micah Parsons. Prescott versus Quinnen Williams. Trayvon Diggs versus Garrett Wilson. I mean, oh my goodness, dear Lord, baby Jesus, thank you for this one.
I love it, Robert. You just covered two of the Jets' first six games this season. That begins on Monday Night Football against the Bills, ends with the reigning MVC and NFC champion Eagles before their Week 7 bye. I want to leave this up for a little bit so fans can kind of breathe it in. Maybe Jets fans feel a little bit of anxiety. Let's not forget, by the way, the Jets have 5 primetime games as well. It's going to be all Jets all season, folks, and it's going to be great. Win or lose, it's going to be great because it's going to play out.
It's going to be exactly. It's going to be great.
Alan Hahn coming back with us. Hey, if you guys don't know, Alan Hahn hosts a huge New York radio show, huge Jets fan, so we had to bring him in on this one. All right, so Robert, the Jets, he talked about the Jets start, everything that happens there.
Yeah.
Now, Robert, I want to start with you because I just, Alan, listen to what he has to say. What happens if Rodgers and the Jets get off to a 2-4 start?
Well, I wouldn't. I'm not trying to give the Jets losses, right? We got to slow it down. I know the schedule release happened, but if they did get off to a 2-4 start, Jets fans, don't panic. Calm down. Take a deep breath. Understand that you don't have to have a fast start to win the Super Bowl, and you also don't even have to win your own division to win the Super Bowl, because Tom Brady and the Bucks did that just a few years ago. So yes, it's on like Donkey Kong from the beginning of the year for the Jets with the way that their schedule is laid out, but that's why you brought in Aaron Rodgers. That's why you're getting the primetime games, and understand that he can see you through the darkness.
Yeah, so you're telling me R-E-L-A-X, relax, right? We don't do that in New York. We're not built that way. But you said it yourself. You saw the Week 2 game that you talked about. You highlighted as a game you're looking forward to. RG, you almost made that a must win. Must win in Week 2. Like you said, coming off what could be a loss in the opener. This is what we feel like in New York. You look at this schedule and you say, see, the league doesn't want us to win. It's like they don't want us to win. This is what
they want us.
They don't want to see us win. So here, this is what they do. They twist their mustaches as they're making the schedule and they're going, all right, how can we get together and ruin this for the Jets? They got Rodgers. This can't happen. They can't win a Super Bowl. Let's ruin it for them by overloading the front of this schedule and just seeing by that bye week. How, oh my God, the back pages in New York will just be tearing this team up, and Rodgers will want another darkness retreat. That's what they think, but that's not what's going to happen.
Ooh. See how it's that bad. Like who has, of those first, whatever,
put
five or six
up.
Opponents,
let's put it back up.
Who has a better defense than the Jets of those opponents? Like, honestly, like, all right, so you got, you're playing the Bills in Week 1. They lost their defensive coordinator. You might be able to score some points on them Week 1. Who knows? At the
Zach
Cowboys.
Wilson scored points on them last year.
Cowboys fired their offensive coordinator for scoring too many points. That feels like a bad decision. You might be able to get them. Patriots, new coordinator, maybe an upgrade. Chiefs have a new offensive coordinator, and that's not going to matter. Broncos, they've upgraded there. Eagles lost both of them. Look, I mean, the Jets have a better defense than any one of those teams, right?
Wow.
Except maybe Buffalo. Right?
Wow. Are you saying 6-0?
I don't think it's, yeah.
Is Gross saying 6-0?
Look, it's the Jets. I don't see what could possibly go wrong.
That's, wait. What do you have to say to that?
What?
I didn't need that.
So, that's why he has the handkerchief.
You start doing that, and it just becomes the thing I did with Jay on the Mets. Four of the reality
Mets
is,
aren't playing great.
Four of the first six games are at home. Only one game's at 1 o'clock, and that's the Patriots, and that's it. And really, again, when you look at the division, you don't feel like the Patriots are a team you're worried about too much, but you haven't beaten the Patriots in 10 years. I think was Rex the last coach to beat the Patriots? So that's got to come to an end. At Dallas is in the second week, is a tough second week. Mm-hmm. But again, when you look at it, just like you said, on paper, as a Jets fan, you panic because you think, this is Murderers Row.
You're wired.
Like, these are all brand names, and we got to go through this. But you got to remind yourself what you said about their defense.
Yeah.
And also, it's Aaron freaking Rodgers at quarterback for you.
It is.
That's got to make you feel confident.
It is. And look, Robert, I want to get you back in here, because here's the thing. I said the 2-4 start because they start out six of those games, they got them as underdogs. I'm sorry, four of the six games they have as underdogs. So that's why they could start 2-4. So here's what I want to ask you. Does Rodgers need to win quick in a new city like New York? Because we know how New York can be.
Yes, Rodgers does need to win quick, but every team is trying to win quick, right? They're not coming out of the season being like, all right, let's go 2-4 or 3-3 and make this work. They're going week by week trying to win those games. To Graz's point, yes, the Jets do have one of the best defenses in the league. And also, NFL scriptwriters must hate them. Because, yes, they're putting them in all these primetime games because of Aaron Rodgers, but they're making their start to the season the most difficult thing I have seen in quite some time. This schedule is so bad, it makes the butt fumble look good, guys. So I understand the panic, but that's why you brought in Aaron Rodgers, right? That's why you brought in Discount Double Jet. Let him go to work. Don't panic early in the year. If they're competitive, it'll be fine. They have to win games down the stretch. You don't win the Super Bowl in Week 1 or Week 4. You win it all the way at the end of the year if you make it to the playoffs.
You said Super Bowl. Are they a Super Bowl contender with this schedule in this situation? Well,
can you ask me again on October 16th? Because I think by then we'll have to Look, I think the reason they went all in for Aaron Rodgers is because they felt like they were a quarterback, a very good quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender. Yeah. And this should not scare them if they feel that way about themselves.
Just keep in mind, too, as RG said, you can't win a Super Bowl you can lose one in the first couple of weeks because injuries and everything else are something to worry about, and that's what we'll all worry about. But if you win more than you lose, oh, the back pages will say Jets are going to win the Super Bowl before we even get to Halloween.
Yes or no? Still a Super Bowl contender?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. All right. Absolutely. There's confidence over here. We're coming up. Today. I'm not so confident about the Sixers because they got deep sixth. Jason Tatum saves the Celtics season as Joel Embiid becomes an on-court spectator down the stretch. What happened? Plus, how much pressure is on LeBron and AD to get it done tonight? Is it all on Steph to save the Warriors season? We're talking about that and a lot more when we come back on Get Up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Playoffs is a game of chess. Sometimes you know, put a little bit too much pressure on yourself, but you know, for the most part tonight, we just fought.
A reverse over Embiid. Big time shot.
A huge start here.
Fires over Embiid. Got it! Jason Tatum, welcome to Philadelphia.
Game 7. I'm excited to go back and kind of like redeem ourselves in front of our home crowd.
Game 7, you know, that's why you play. Everybody has to step up, starting with me. Everybody else has to do their job, and everybody has to show up.
Big blow for the Sixers. They scored just 13 points in the fourth quarter last night. Joel Embiid scored nearly half of the team's points in the final frame, but the Celtics limited the MVP as the quarter dragged on. Shot just one shot attempt in the final 5 minutes. Epic meltdown there for the Sixers. And so now we're set up for a Game 7. Monica Allen back with us. And Allen, Game 7, everything on the line now. Who wins and why?
Well, as I joked earlier, it's very difficult to judge this series because this is like moody teenagers. I'm a parent of teenagers.
Yeah.
But I will say this. Jaylen Brown, after the game, called out Celtics fans. And he said that the Garden's been okay energy-wise, but we need everybody for Game 7 and have them show out. When he says something like that, again, dealing with kids, what you see is it's that accountability, is that he knows that they haven't really behaved well either at home. They had a bad game 1. They had a bad game 5. You can't have 3 bad games in your home building because you know up to your room you go. You're grounded. So he says that. That's more accountability for his team. I like that. And that's the beauty of having kids, is eventually they come around and understand that they have to show up. And they have to behave. And I believe the Celtics will in Game 7.
Teens are really getting shaded this morning. Poor teenagers. Monica.
I'm saying, Ryan, like, the Han children are catching so many strays this morning. It is unreal. I picked the Celtics going into this series, and I haven't seen enough to make me think otherwise. Yes, they've had some terrible 90-second windows at the end of ball games, but I think yesterday was a monster performance in terms of saving their season. Jason Tatum, man, like, I loved his candor post-game about how bad it sucked his first half, but to answer the call in the biggest moments of the season and in the ball game on both sides of the ball, candidly, I think that speaks to this team's growth. I don't know if Philly's going to be able to get out of their own heads on this one. And to be fair, the Celtics have the experience, they have the confidence, and they do have home court. So I'm still rolling with the Celtics.
All right, you guys are both picking the Celtics. Guys, producers, do I have to make a pick here? I do.
I feel like you need to break it up, Ryan, because you know what happens when everybody picks the same thing.
You're gonna trust.
I'm gonna say the Sixers. You better not let me down.
Yes.
Not coming back if you let me down.
Narrator, they let him down.
Yeah. All right. One really quick thing here. By the way, the Celtics 10-10 at home in the playoffs the last three seasons. But here's the Sixers, Alan. 11-17 game sevens, fourth worst percentage in history. Is there any chance for them?
Well, of course, there's a chance because, again, you have a great player in Joel Embiid. Their chance is that they've got to play the way they were playing. Like, they've had pockets of this series. I keep going back to this moodiness of the series, but that's what it was. There have been pockets of this series where you're like, oh, there it is. I mean, that's exactly what the Sixers need to be. Mm-hmm. But it's still James Harden. Less than Embiid, it's James Harden. Show up, or maybe he's out in Philly.
Ooh. Good point there.
Big game for him.
All right. Meanwhile, let's move over to the West. Warriors, Lakers, game six tonight. LeBron and the Lakers trying to close out the defending champs. This is it. And you know what? The Lakers star Anthony Davis is probable for tonight. Not in the concussion protocol. He was after he was inadvertently hit in the head by Kevon Looney in game five, forcing him to exit the game. Now, head coach Darvin Ham is saying that Davis is feeling great. And by the way, the Lakers are feeling great when he plays. His presence has meant everything to the Lakers this postseason. Plus 59 with Davis on the court, minus 18 with him off it. I mean, it's just so huge, especially when you talk about on the defensive end, opponents shooting 28% when contested by Anthony Davis. So, Monica, I start with you. What are we going to get out of Anthony Davis tonight if you're a Lakers fan?
His best effort, Ryan.
Go for it.
Listen,
do your best.
If he's playing, I expect him to be out there and to be a presence in the paint, right? Like a double-double. I'm not sure it has to be 20-10 as Han mentioned, but this is it. To me, this is a must-win for the Lakers. And Anthony Davis, per the stats that we just showed, has been the key to their success. Now, I think there's enough responsibility to go around, especially if they understand that he may be playing that at less than 100%. But he's the biggest matchup nightmare. He's been terrific defensively as far as slowing things up in the paint for the Warriors. And so he has to be out there and able to do something. Now, if that is going to be 100% of the performances that have led to wins, I'm not sure. But I think if you could give me 80% and you're alert, attentive, and active defensively, the Lakers got a chance. They got to get this thing done tonight because I don't like what it looks like if they got to go game seven back at Chase Center.
Now, Alan, can I get to LeBron for a second? Because Andrew Wiggins, this is an interesting wrinkle in this game. He's coming off his best game in the playoffs, but he's actually questionable with a fracture in his rib cage. So game five, he defended LeBron a lot, 54 half-court matchups. If he can't go, what does it mean for LeBron in this game?
Well, it means he's probably going to see a lot of, it's Gary Payton, it's a lot of Draymond Green. It's going to be a lot of different bodies that they throw at him. But more importantly, what does it mean for LeBron, regardless of who's guarding him? I don't care who it is. LeBron James knows that he doesn't want to play Sunday for several reasons, including the fact that the Western Conference Finals start 2 days later. Tuesday is when the NBA has scheduled the start of the Western Conference Finals. So you don't want to have no days off, literally, going into a new series, while the Denver Nuggets are going to hang out this weekend and sit back and relax and watch some basketball. He's got to get it done tonight. He knows it. A vintage LeBron James performance, I believe, is coming tonight. It's an epic time for him to continue this Last Dance documentary that we are enjoying live.
You want that documentary. Real quick, we only have a couple seconds. Go ahead, Monica.
Yes, these are the names and lights when it comes to the Lakers, but I think the role players are equally, if not more, important. This is the chapter of LeBron's career where he's empowering the youth that is around him to go and carry some of this weight. They're going to have to step up because LeBron, as great as he is 38.
It is going to be a classic. Can't wait to see it. By the way, great game last night in hockey. Check this out. Kraken Stars take you to the hockey playoffs. Game five last night. Series tied up at 2-2. Early first period. The Stars get going. Jamie Benn finds Wyatt Johnston, and Johnston got to put it in. 1-0 Stars. Still early in the first. Same score. Johnston slides it to Rupe Hintz. Nice shot. Man. Hintz seventh of the postseason. They're up 2-0 early. And then Joe Pavelski, dangerous all playoffs, gets right in there, gets his own rebound, puts it in the back of the net. Tremendous solo effort for Pavelski. His seventh of the postseason. Stars up 3-0. and then Pavelski and Hintz playing the two-man game. Incredible top shelf goal. Puck barely crossed the line on that one, but you gotta count it and count the stars to win. They win it 5-2, holding a 3-2 series lead. Well, coming up, will it be Cowboy up? The schedule's out. Could Dak and Dallas get off to a slow start? And will it cost them the division? We're talking about that next. But first, a little sneaky Josh time, shall we, for Graz. Which NFL franchise has won the most season opening games since the 1970 merger? Does he know? Doesn't he? We'll see. All right, with the NFL, let's just talk about the Sneaky Josh first.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we get to the schedule, right? Which NFL franchise has won the most season opening games since the 1970 merger, Dan?
I don't know. I mean, this is going to be a guess. Like I was saying to you in the break, I believe the Packers have won the most ever, but I, you know, they go back to the 1930s or whatever, so I'm not sure that's going to count. I'm going to guess the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, that's a good guess. Let's see.
But
who
is it? Correct?
The Broncos with 35. This is impossible.
Yeah.
But that's how Josh gets you. All right. The Cowboys are actually second, by the way, with 33.
Oh, okay. Well,
you were
good.
In the building.
That's close.
And you also were talking about the Packers. They weren't in the top five. But
right.
Still.
But if you
good.
Go back to 1930.
There you go. See, that's how you should
Cowboys
do
Cowboys didn't do much winning in the 40s and 50s.
All right. There you have
they
it.
They didn't well, exist.
Speaking of winners, by the way,
yeah.
Winning, winners and losers, the NFL schedule out. Let's run through some of them. So, Graz, let's start with your team. That's a winner after the schedule release.
I would call the Seahawks a winner because they got, look, they always travel the most miles just because of where they're situated versus everybody else. But considering all that, they got some breaks. They only have one short week. They don't play a lot of teams coming off byes. And I think their division rivals got hit pretty hard.
So, RG3, who's your winner?
Yeah, my winner is the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers purely on the matchups that they have. Right, their first 4 weeks are favorable. They're going up against the Steelers, the Rams, the Cardinals, and the Giants. And then, you know, later in the season, they finish their last three or four against the Arizona Cardinals, Washington, and the Rams. So they're set up for a strong start and a strong finish.
So, Graz, which team is your loser?
A wise man said about an hour and a half ago on this program, last year's teams are not this year's teams. You cannot judge the strength of schedule based on last year's records. The 49ers are the loser because of travel. They're right
like
behind
it,
the Seahawks
like
in terms of total miles flown. They have six games in the Eastern time zone, four of which start at 10 a.m. Pacific time. They have the most games in the league against teams coming off bye weeks. They will consistently be less well-rested than their opponents.
Okay, RG3, who's your loser?
Touche, Graz. What I would say is it's the Giants. Five of their first six games, Cowboys, San Fran, Seattle, Miami, Buffalo. I mean, listen, the NFL scriptwriters do not like the Giants this year. They need DJ to go out there and play the funky music every single week and prove why they paid him so much money because their schedule is atrocious.
Yeah, the Giants, tough road to go. How about the Cowboys, by the way? After that season opener against the Giants, the Cowboys host Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. In weeks 5 and 6, they have two straight West Coast games, 49ers and Chargers, both in prime time. Then from weeks 10 to 14, Dallas has 4 out of 5 games at home, the only road game coming at the Panthers. A lot of tough parts of that schedule, Graz. Are you concerned the Cowboys will start 0-2 and be 2-4 by the time they hit their bye week?
I think it's possible. I mean, like, look, we don't know yet what it's going to look like offensively. Kellen Moore was there for a very long time, and they scored a lot of points with him as the offensive coordinator. He's not there. Mike McCarthy decided the best move was for him to take over the play calling. It's a high-risk move for McCarthy. If he's no good at it, he's probably going to be out of a job at the end of the year. So we'll see. But I don't know how that offense is going to operate with no Kellen Moore there. We've never seen Dak Prescott without Kellen Moore. Even when he started in the league, Kellen was his backup.
Wow. So he's got to learn. He's got to do something totally new without his guy backing him up. So RG3, do you think the Cowboys will get back in the playoffs with this schedule?
Yeah, easily the Cowboys
really?
Will get back in the playoffs. There's one
easily.
Thing we know about the Cowboys, at least recently, is they've won two back-to-back 12-game seasons, right? They've had 12 wins in back-to-back seasons. They're not a team that doesn't perform well in the regular season. Yes, Kellen Moore is gone, and yes, they scored a ton of points with Kellen Moore. But Mike McCarthy's point is that it's not about scoring the points and being number one in the NFL in offense. They want to win games and do it consistently in the playoffs. So The six primetime games for the Cowboys is not surprising to me at all. It shouldn't be surprising to anybody. The NFL would give them 10 primetime games if they could, and Stephen A. would be punching air. But at the end of the day, it's they're stretched down the end of the year. Look at this with me, guys. Starting in week 13, they have a gauntlet of Seattle, the Eagles, the Dolphins, the Bills, the Lions, and the Commanders. I mean, you're talking about teams that are absolutely stacked. The NFL script writers, the schedule makers, they put the Cowboys in the thick of it late in the year to see if they are ready for a playoff run. And we're going to find out more about the Cowboys starting week 13 than we will the whole rest of the year.
Yeah, you're right. I'd even say week 12. Put that schedule back up because they got Commanders in week 12. And the Commanders, don't sleep on those Commanders. They're looking good. The Cowboys, by the way, I mean, they look pretty good. I wouldn't rule them out. Look, RG3, you're saying they might win the division. Cowboys coming off two straight 12-win seasons. Graz, is 12 wins kind of the benchmark?
Yeah, I think, but to RG's point, right? Like, 12 wins is great, but unless the Cowboys start doing something in the postseason, then they're always going to be this team that wins 12 and goes nowhere. And that's what they don't want to be anymore. So, yeah, tough schedule. Look, three of the last four on the road. That's no fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the Cowboys should be a good enough team that in January we're talking about, can they finally get over the playoff hump?
Yeah, all right. So we're going to stick with the division.
There you go.
Let's get to some picks, right, guys? Who's going to win the NFC East when you look at this division? Graz, who you got?
I can't take the Eagles because of the rule. Nobody wins the NFC East 2 years in a row. I'm not picking the Eagles because of the curse. That is the reason. I do think they look like the best team. So I don't know. I flip a three-sided coin. Feels like the Giants' turn.
RG3, you don't have the Commanders. Who do you got?
This man flipping a coin. Listen, I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious. So I understand not picking the Eagles, but I'm going with the Eagles. But I've already explained why they've got a juggernaut of a team. Let me go with the Washington Commanders here. Don't sleep on the Commanders, right? I am picking the Eagles, but the Commanders have a defense and a defensive line that can be dominant at any time they want to. They've got offensive skill position guys that are talented at every single level of their offense. And Sam Howell, don't sleep on him. Great quarterback there at North Carolina. He can utilize those weapons. So I think the Commanders will be sneaky in this division, but I do believe the Eagles come out on top.
Thank you. I will put a pin in this discussion by saying it's the Eagles, folks. Write it down. Drop your pen.
Thank you.
That does not have the effect that I thought it was going to have. But still, the Eagles will win this division. So time now for let's move on with another edition of Is That McNuts? Monica. The Sixers win Game 7 on the road in Boston. Is that McNuts?
Okay, only because I have two choices to answer this question. I'm going to go with that is McNuts because I picked the Celtics to protect home court, but only by a little bit. We still have to see which team is going to be most focused in literally the last 4 minutes of this ball game. I would not be shocked if the Sixers do something special, but I'm leaning toward the Celtics, so that's McNuts.
Okay, Kevin Durant will never win a title with the Suns. Is that McNuts?
This is McNutt's legacy crown. Pipe down. First of all, this dude already has multiple championships and two finals MVPs. And I don't know, it's warm in Phoenix. He's really easy to play with. You got Devin Booker. There's so much room on the floor for activities when you play alongside those guys. I think this is a place that folks are going to want to go play.
All right. Steph Curry needs to score 40 or more in Game 6 tonight for the Warriors to win. Is that McNutt's?
That is not McNuts. I think this is going to require a Herculean effort from Steph. And while he has not been shooting the three ball particularly well in this series, it's right around that 36% mark. I think that he's figured out how to get to the paint. It's going to be taxing. Vanderbilt has been terrific defending him, but I'm not disrespecting that man yet.
Oh, man. So he could go off. Allen, do you agree with Monica? He could have a signature moment like that 40 he put up in the previous series.
Monica, are you saying he's going to have a 50-point game, game six again? Is this what we're going to do?
Read the question, guys. That was 40.
40.
That was 4-0.
Over 40 could get you to 50. The Lakers are taking that away from him and making him a playmaker.
Okay.
There's no doubt about that. And it's not disrespecting Steph Curry. It's more just understanding how the Lakers are playing him, and they're going with the head of the snake kind of thing. Eliminate him and take away his airspace. Make him have to work for shots. And then let somebody else beat you. That somebody else has been like Draymond Green in certain occasions, Andrew Wiggins in another occasion, and eventually in this series, it's going to need to be Klay Thompson. So I'm looking at Klay Thompson, and I'm looking at the idea that he's home.
Okay.
You know, this isn't a game for him. Now, his two games in L.A. earlier in this series, 3 and 4, were not good. He didn't shoot the ball well at all. He's shooting the last three games 29%. He's not that player. There's a lot left in Klay Thompson. We all know it. And I think for him, this game feels a little more personal because of where it is and the understanding that they're not ready to close the doors and close the windows and send everybody home on the dynasty. So I'm expecting Klay Thompson to be that guy tonight.
Yeah, game six Klay is a thing. We know that. Monica, is this must win for LeBron and the Lakers tonight? And what does LeBron have to do?
I do believe that it is must win for LeBron and the Lakers tonight, Ryan and Han. I think if this thing goes back to Chase Center, then you completely have poked the bear, awoken the beast, whatever you want to say about the Warriors. LeBron, though, to me, I think of the folks left in this series, he and Steph are probably on the same level as far as understanding where that fine line between the urgency of the moment crosses over into pressing. And so I think LeBron is going to allow the game to come to him a bit. If his supporting cast cannot give him the support he needs, then yes, we're probably grabbing our popcorn and getting ready for a LeBron James signature performance. But I think it's important to acknowledge that I don't know that that foot is completely whole, and we saw him tweak it in the last game. And so a LeBron James signature performance is going to require a lot, and it still will need the support of this supporting cast. This team has done really well when D'Angelo Russell scores that 17-point mark, 6-0.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge right there. So, all right, let's get the picks, you guys. Monica, who wins, Warriors-Lakers?
I hear my high school coach saying, baby, always lean in on defense. And I really like the way that the Lakers have managed to defend in this series. I think they might get away with this one tonight.
Okay, who wins game six?
I hear my college coach talking to me, and he's saying, play defense. No, but he's also talking about how your best players win you your games. And that's exactly why I believe LeBron James has more episodes left in his version of The Last Dance. They get it done tonight.
And I say Warriors. Are we forgetting the defending champs? They're not going quietly. And we'll see for sure. The NBA playoffs continue on ESPN in the app tonight with two more critical game sixes. First, 7:30 Eastern, the Heat can wrap up their series with the Knicks. And then the Lakers host the Warriors with another chance to knock out the defending champs. Countdown crew tips off 7 Eastern. Well, first takes coming up next. How disappointing was Joel Embiid's fourth quarter last night? Was the Suns' season a failure? And don't miss Dwayne The Rock Johnson. It's First Take. Molly, Stephen A. and Company. That's coming up.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's get up with you starting right now. There's being a fan, and then there's this. Can they do Aaron Rodgers?
Don't do that, Greeny.
Oh, my gosh, Greeny.
Are you kidding? The second most painful thing about this is that he's out.
You need Anthony Davis to be demonstrative defensively and offensively.
Why is Monica laughing at this?
Because my terrific staff told me to come in the shot, and I didn't realize I was out in the background. My bad.
If I'm the Lakers, I leave LeBron and AD in L.A.
I know you think they should rest him. You're insane.
I am a hard no on this.
If they actually practice your theory,
yeah,
they're going to lose the series.
I will bet you anything you want that LeBron and AD both play under 30 minutes.
Not if the game is close.
The game not going to be close.
Look, you can't automatically know that the Warriors going to
blow. Oh, I know everything. No. You don't know what I know. So what you're saying is that of all the ridiculously bad ideas I've had in my career,
this is by far might be the worst.
LeBron comes up limping a little bit.
He gets elbowed by Looney in the head area.
The entire NBA playoffs right now is riding on whether Anthony Davis is diagnosed with concussion today or not.
Those three words that no one ever wants to say on this show. Mm-hmm. Greeny was right.
Said so solemnly.
Wow.
Was he?
He was.
Not quite. We'll see.
By the way, two buttons down. Crew.
Always.
This is how you do it.
One.
Always. First take starts now.
I only got one.
Still.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.